Today's daf is Chulin daf Nun Dalet. We are 6 lines from the bottom of daf Nun Gimel Amid Beis. So the Gemara is at the tail end of a very detailed discussion about the treifa mentioned in the Mishnah that is Drusas HaZe'ev. Rashi, the Mishnah, and daf Mem Beis of an Aleph explain Drusas HaZe'ev, quote, Shehika Bitzaparnov, the wolf, or another similar animal, attacked this animal with its fingernails, umatul ba'eres, and it deposited some venom into the animal, visarfa, it burnt it, and that's why it's a treifa. Either way, the Gemara discussed this in somewhat detail, and we just have a little bit more Gemara. Rav Nachman Amar, Rav Nachman said, because if the animal was punctured with a thorn, achetinokiv l'chol, the animal's not going to be considered a treifa unless it penetrated the chol, which we saw is the area where the intestines are, the vertebrae is. It would have to go into that area in order for it to be considered a treifa, bedrusa. If, however, an animal actually clawed it, mishayadim basar connected bei me'ayim. Even if there's no evidence that it actually punctured a hole into the chalal of the animal, but rather what you see is redness, you see some swelling, as long as that's keneged b'nei me'ayin in that area, that would be enough to make the animal a traitor. He said that as relates to a drusa, the time that it would be considered a treifa is if the area, the flesh, connected to the me'ayim became red. The simonim, if however the animal was attacked by its simonim, by its kona and veshet, actually adimu simonim atzman. So if the basar that's surrounding the area becomes red, that would not be enough to make it a treifa, but you would need that the simonim themselves should become red. I'm rapapi. Rabbi Barabai declared the following question. Veshet nikuvase b'mashu. The veshet, we are a nekev, the size of a mashu makes the animal a treifa. It's pasha drusase b'mashu. That if there was a drusa that made the animal red, and the size of the redness is a mashu, that would be enough to make it a treifa. If a nekev of a mashu is considered a treifa on the veshet, then redness of a mashu should be considered a drusa when the point of attack was the veshet. Kana, however, nikuvasoi bike iser. A kana that has a nekev that's the size of a mashu does not make the animal a treifa. You would need that it should be severed, or, as we're going to see on the Mishnah on the bottom of daf nun dalet amud aleph, if the kana was chaser, it's missing some of it, the size of an iser, that's an ancient coin that was used, that too would make the animal a treifa. So Rav Bibi Barabai's question was, drusase bekama, if the animal was a drusa, and the area that it became a drusa was the kana, so what's the shear of the redness that you would have to have on the simonim in order to make the animal a treifa? By the veshet, he assumed it's for sure a mashu, because if a nekev mashu makes the animal a treifa on the veshet, then redness of a mashu should make the animal a treifa, as relates to the treif of Drusas HaZeiv on the veshet as well. But the kana, where the chisaron or the nekev would have to be more than a mashu, it would have to be a shir ki isar, do you say that the redness would have to be like the shir ki isar as well, or not? Or maybe a mashu. Just like redness of a mashu makes the animal a treif when it's on the veshet, maybe the same is going to be true if it's on the kana as well, says the Gemara, Basa, the Bayu, the Pashla. After Abibi Barabaya cleared the question, he was poshut the question, he said, Echad zeb, mashu. Doesn't matter if it's on the kana or if it's on the veshet, it's always going to be a mashu. My time, what's the reason for it? Ziare mikla kali v'azel. Because Rashi said, we saw the sugyo, that the way the animal kills its prey or renders the animal a treif is by depositing this poison into it. The fact that this redness of a mashu means that a mashu of poison went in. Once there's a mashu of poison that goes in, we assume it's going to spread and it's going to eventually kill the animal. So a nekev of a mashu on the kana maybe won't kill the animal. Thus, it's not considered a treifa. But redness, al yedei drusa of a mashu on the kana, we assume it means there's a little bit of poison. The nekev is not going to spread, but the poison's going to spread. As a result, even a mashu on the kana would be enough to make the animal a treifa. Yosef Reb Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar he said the following halach, when Chazal said that a drusa requires bedika, Again, this is all a continuation to the previous sugya. The halacha is, where does the bedikah need to take place? Keneged b'nei me'ayim. In the area that's keneged the b'nei me'ayim. If you have a picture, they show you exactly where that is. Rav Nachman Omar, so Rav Nachman was there, and he commented. He said, well, Ikim Mori Bei Rav, I heard from Rav differently. Mikapa v'ad atma. That it means from the kapa, literally from the spoon of the animal. We'll see what that means. Until the thigh of the animal. Meaning, Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta told Rav Nachman that when the Chachamim said you have to do bedikah on a drusa, they meant a specific part of the animal. You have to be bedik the whole animal. It means keneged b'nei me'ayin. So Rav Nachman said beloshin shvur. Well, Kim, I heard from Rav differently that the mukkin that you have to do the bedikah is from its spoon, quote unquote, mikapa v'ad at my kapa. Ile mikapa di yada doesn't mean the calf of its hand, which is translated as its shoulder blade. Hainu keneged b'nei me'ayin. That's essentially the same area of the b'nei me'ayin that Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta was referring to. So why did Rabbi Nachman get all dramatic and he swore in the name that he heard that from Rav, that Rav said that it's Mikapa Vadatma? It's the same place. If it means the shoulder blades, if you draw a little picture, you're going to see that we're all talking about the same place. Ella, what it must mean is Mikapa de Moicha. It must mean not the calf of the shoulder, of its hand, but rather it's the calf of its mayach, referring to the skull, ad atma, until its thigh, which is a much larger area, and that's what Rav Nachman was saying. He saw like Rav Chir Bar Yosef, when Rav Chir Bar Yosef came from Bavel to Yisrael, Ashkechinu Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, the Yosef he comes to Beis Medrash, he meets the great Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, they're sitting in Beis Medrash, and they said the following halacha, Jerusa, Sh'amu Tzricha B'dika, Kineged Mei Me'ayin, the same halacha that Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta said. Now when the Chachamim said you have to do B'dika on a Jerusa, so what exactly do you have to check? You have to check the area that's connected to B'nei Me'ayin. Amaluhu. So Rav Chir Bar Yosef said, Ho'alikim Mori Bo Rav, I just came from Bavel, and I know Rav, I'm a Talmud of Rav, and I heard from Rav that the area that you need to check is Mikapa Va'ad Atma. Same thing that Rav Nachman had said in the previous Gemara. I'm only Rav Shlokesh. So Rav Shlokesh turns to Rav Chir Bar Yosef and he says, Manoi Rav, Umanoi Rav. Who is this Rav I'm hearing so much about? Apparently Rav Shlokesh was hearing a lot about Rav. Rav was the God of Ador in Bavel. V'lo Yadanale. I don't know who he is. I'm Rav Yochanan. So Rav Yochanan turns to Rav Shlokesh. An interesting Gemara. He says, V'lo Nehirle Loisa Talmud, Sheshivin is Rebbe Rabbi. You don't remember that there was a Talmud who was Mishamish Rav Yudah Nasi? Rav Chir, he was also a Talmud of Reb Chia. Is it coming back to you, Reish Lakish? And then Rabbi Yechon continued. He said, that all those years that Rav was Mishamish, Rabbi Yudah Nasi, so he used to sit and I used to stand. In other words, Rabbi Yechon was saying, he was greater than me. He was on a higher Madrega. He was considered more chashev in Beis Medrash than I was. Uman Govar. And what was he? What was so great about Rav? He said, Govar Bekula. He was great in everything. Rashi says, Betoiru Bechasidus. Rav was great in Torah. Rav was also great in Chasidus. Asorim milu de Chasidus that Rav used to observe. But the point is, he told me, "You're not sure who Rav is." You remember Rav? Rav was he was from the superstars in Rabbi Yudah Nasi's yeshiva. Says the Gemara, "Miad pasuk Reish Lakish v'amar." So Reish Lakish got up and he said, "Brom zocha oisel ish latoiv." Now I remember who he is. Sha'amru Shmuel mipev. As a matter of fact, I remember he said the following halacha: Shmuta v'shchuta ksheira. If the kana of an animal slipped out of place and then the sheichet did a shechita, and he's not sure if the shechita was done before the kana slipped out of place, or if he did it after the kana slipped out of place. If he did it before the kana slipped out of place, it's a good shechita. If he did it after the kana slipped out of place, the fact that the kana slipped, that it was shmuta, that would make the animal into a treifa. So said Rav Halacha, that if you find that the trachea, the kana of the animal, is shmuta and it's shchuta, it's kosher. Why? She efshel is shmuta, she teyasa shchuta. Because it's impossible once the kana slips out of place to properly shecht it. So if you got a proper shchita, by definition it means that it was in place at the time of the shchita. So it must be first it was shchuta, and then afterwards it was shmut. Rabbi Yechanan, I mean, so that's the Rabbi Yechanan says the Gemara argued, and he said, Yavi v'yakif, it's not true. It's possible to do a shchita even on a shmuta. However, when you do a shchita on a shmuta, it's going to give off a very specific appearance. So what you could do is you could be makif. What does makif mean? So we've seen enough Gemaras to know what that means. You can compare. So what you could do is you can sever another hole in the kana and then compare it to the one that we have. If they look the same, then we'll assume that the Shechita happened after the Shmuta. If, however, they look different, then we'll assume that the Shechita was a proper Shechita. Oh. But the bottom line is, said Reish Lakish, I remember now who Rav is. I remember he's the one that said the halacha about Shmuta and Shchuta. Rav Nachman continued along this halacha, and he said, this whole halacha is true only if the Shechet didn't grab onto the Simanim at the time that he did the Shchita. But Tavas B'Shimon, if however he grabbed onto the Simanim when he did the Shchita, Efshel Shmuta Shetiyasa Shchuta, then it's for sure possible for Sheikhe to be able to do a Shechita, even if the Kana was Shmuta, even if the Kana had slipped out of place. Either way, so again, the Gemara is discussing Jerusa She'amru Chachamim, where there's a halacha that you have to do bedika. What part of the animal do you have to do the bedika? So apparently there were two opinions amongst the Gemara. There was the Shita of Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta. There was the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish that said, Jerusa She'amru Tzricha Bedika Keneged B'nei Me'ay. The Gemara says that Rav Nachman said he heard from Rav, and Rav Chir Bar Yosef said that he heard from Rav, that it's a different shir. The shir is Mikapa V'ad Atma. What does Kapa mean? So the Gemara's second explanation, which seems to be the final explanation, is it's from the skull of the animal until the thigh. And B'derech Agav, the Gemara related a fascinating story about Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, who hear from Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef, who was one of the Talmidei Bavel. He comes to Eretz Yisrael and he says over a member from Rav, and Reish Lakish turns to Rabbi Yochanan and he says, Manei Rav, who is this? V'loyad Nanalei. I don't know who he is. I mean, Rav was the Gadol Hadar. Rav incidentally lived in Eretz Yisrael and then he went to Bavel. The Gemara often says, Michi Asa Rav Bavel, which is exactly what Rabbi Yochanan told him. He says, you don't remember, Rav was a Talmud of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, he was a Talmud of Rabbi Chiya, and then Rabbi Yochanan went on to say that he was greater than me, the great Rabbi Yochanan. Rav was greater than Rabbi Yochanan, regardless. So there's a lot of interesting agada that we could talk about as it relates to Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. When the Gemara would seem to suggest that Rav was greater than Rabbi Yochanan, yet we know the Gemara says in Be'ah, Daf Dalet, that whenever there's machlokes Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. Eker Harim, Sinai, the Yad Malachi that we once upon a time spoke out. It's worth revisiting, but not different days. Says the Gemara, Zehachal. So the Mishnah, after it mentioned all the treifos, and the Mishnah mentioned 18 treifos, the Yud Ches Treifos, although it's not the Yud Ches Treifos that Talmid Dvar Rabbi Shmuel mentioned in the Braisa, but after the Mishnah mentioned 18 examples of Treifos B'Behema, the Mishnah said, Zahakal, this is the rule. Kol She'in Kamoya Chaya, Treifa. The Tana, the Mishnah holds that Treifa in a Chaya, which means that an animal that has Simanei Treifa will not be able to live Yud Beis Chaydesh. And the Mishnah said that this is a rule that any time you have a animal that has a defect or a wound or a disease that will cause it not to be able to live Yud Beis Chodesh, that is enough to make it a treifa. Says the Gemara, Zeh Klal we know is always Lasuye Mai. So the Gemara says, Lasuye Shev Shmaitza. It's coming to include the Shev Shmaitza, the seven Amirak teachings with regards to treifas. What are the Shev Shmaitza? So the Gemara discussed it on Daf Mem Beis Amid Beis. The Vei Yosef Rishba, the family of Yosef the hunter, they're allowed to be a hunter. So the Vei Yosef Rishba Machu Begida Nashya. They used to hunt animals and they would kill the animals by shooting an arrow into its Gid HaNasha, its sciatic nerve. Vekatli. And afterwards they would shecht it. They would kill it. Also coming to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. So they brought it to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira and they wanted to know if they're allowed to do what they're doing. Because being that they hid it in the sciatic nerve, the animal's soon gonna die. And if it's soon gonna die, it's a treifa. But at the same time, it's not one of the treifas that I mentioned in the Mishnah. It's not one of the Shev Shmaitzes. There was no braisa of a ton of Dvar Rabbi Shmuel that included this. So this was the question that they brought to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. They wanted to know, these animals that they hunt, could they eat it afterwards with a proper shechita? Amalusi said, yeah. V'chi lo hoisev al treifas yesh? Are you letting me moisev on the treifas? Ein lo chalo ma shemaru chachamim. We have the treifas shemaru chachamim and nothing else. Devei Rapapa Bar Abba Rishba, Rapapa Bar Abba was also a hunter, and his family, when they used to hunt, Machu Bekulya, they would hit the animal in the kidney, the Katli. Also, coming to Rabbi Abba, they asked Rabbi Abba the same Shaila. Is the animal a treifa? Amaluhu, Vechila Hoysev al treifas yesh, Ein Lochela, Masha, Manu Chachamim. Fate the Gemara, Vakachazina, the Kamesa. What do you mean, Ein Lochela, Masha, Manu Chachamim? At the end of the day, observe, this animal's gonna die. And if the animals die, then Lachura, shouldn't that by definition make it a A treifa, says the Gemara, it's true, but Gemiri, we have a Mesaira, the Ibadri la Samachai, that if you would cure it with some form of medication, it would live, and it's for that reason that it wasn't included in the treifas. Which means, incidentally, that all the treifas that are mentioned in the Mishnah were treifas for which there was no cure. Because if there was a cure, then it would be like the sciatic nerve and the kidney, where it wouldn't have been mentioned in the Mishnah. The point is, the reason that it was Yud Ches Treifos, and it wasn't 20 Treifos, we didn't include the Gid Anosha or the Koya, is because these were Treifos for which there was a refuah. All the Treifos that I mentioned in the Mishnah were Machlo She'ein Lahem refuah, and if the Shef Shmaitz included, and anything that Chachamim considered a Treifah meant that the animal would die within Yud Beis Chodesh, and there is no refuah for it. Those were the criteria. The bottom line is, that's why it's not mentioned in the Mishnah. Of course, this Gemara right here is the basis for the Rambam and the end of Perek Yud Hilchos Shechita that we've spoken out together in the Daf many times. Again, there's more to talk about, but we'll finish the Daf and we'll get to some very important raid. Either way, Zok the Mishnah Vayitev, Ve'eluk Sheiris Bebehema, the second Mishnah. So we had Ve'eluk Treifas Bebehema, and now we have the Sheiris Bebehema. So as we're going to see, the Sheiris Bebehema really mirrors to a degree the Treifas Bebehema. Meaning, there were a lot of Treifas mentioned in the Mishnah, but those trephas had certain parameters. So for example, a hole in the trachea, does it make the animal a trepha? Well, if it was severed, yeah. If there's merely a hole, not. So we'll see. This Mishnah really mirrors the first Mishnah. Nikva ha-gargeres, a hole the size of a mashu in the gargeres, in the kona, in the trachea. That doesn't make the animal a trepha. Nakuvas ha-veshet makes the animal a trepha. But when it comes to the kona, it needs to be nifsika. Thus, nikva ha-gargeres is not in the Mishnah of elu trephas, it's in the Mishnah of elu ksheres. Oishen nistika, or it was cracked. If the top and the bottom are intact and there's a crack that goes down the length of the gargaris, that doesn't make the animal a treifa. It would have to be along the width. The chulya of the gargaris would have to be severed, reif avyoiv, reif chalaloi, but you would need that it should be along the width of the circumference of the chulya in order for it to be a treifa. But if there's just a crack going along the length of it, that doesn't make it a treifa. Ad kama tichasit. There has to be a point, says the Mishnah, where if we're missing part of the gargaris, it is a treifa. What's that? Shir, shim gamliel leimer, ad ki isari talki, if it's the size of an isari talki. Again, everything here was discussed very great detail earlier in the parak. Nifchisa hagul goyles veloy nikev krum shomayach. If the skull of the animal was bruised, but it never penetrated the brain, so the membrane that encases the brain wasn't penetrated, so that's not a treifa. If it went into the krum shomayach, it is. But if it just damaged the skull, then that wouldn't. Nikev halev, if there's a puncture in the heart, bavaloi lebeis chaloli, didn't enter the chamber of the heart. Nishbara hashedra, if the backbone broke, bavaloi nifsak hachutshala, but it didn't sever its spinal cord. Nitla hakoved, the liver was removed, but v'nishtayim mena kezayis. You still have a kezayis of it remaining. Hemseisu beis hakoisos, the second and the third of the four stomachs of the animal, respectively. Shenikvu, zalotoichzeh, that has a hole, but it's the hole is in the wall that separates these two stomachs. So there's the outer wall and the inner wall. The Mishnah says if there's a hole in the outer wall, then that would be a trefa. But if it's the inner wall, it's the wall that connects or separates these two stomachs, it's that wall where they join. A neck over there would not make it a trefa. Nitel ha-tchul, if the spleen was removed, nitel ha-kloyes, the kidneys were removed. Nitel ha-tachting, the lower jaw was removed. Nitel ha-imshala, if it's a female animal and her womb was removed. The charusa b'dei shamayim, or the lung shriveled, but it shriveled, not b'dei adam, but b'dei shamayim. Hagluda, what about a gluda, an animal that was flayed? It doesn't have its skin. Rameir machsher, v'chacham and poison. Again, everything is familiar to us already. Regardless, this is a Mishnah example of things that you could have had a havamina, maybe you should make the animal a trefa. Like the Mishnah, no. Making it clear that even though these are wounds, but they're not considered defects that are to the point where the animal's going to die within Yud Beis Chodesh, thus, they're not the Elu Treifas, but rather the Elu Ksheres Bebehemah. Zok Tegmar Itmar, Yechon Ame Elu Treifas Daf. Then when the Mishnah said Elu Treifas, it's Daf. Shimon Lokos Ame Elu Ksheres Daf. Then when the Mishnah said Elu Ksheres, it's Daf. What does that mean? It says the Gemara, but my Komitlaki, they're arguing about something, but Rav Masna, they're arguing Rav Masna's Allah, Rav Masna. Rav Masna said, Hai Buka, Da Atma, Da Shof Me Duchte, if the ball of the thigh bone slipped out of place, it dislocated. Treifa, as Rav Masna said, we had this on the Membeis on Membeis right in the beginning, the first daf of Eilu Treifas, that would make the animal a treifa. Rav Yechanan said that the way you read the Mishnah is as follows. When the Mishnah says Eilu Treifas and then it lists 18 Treifas, it's dafka. It's dafka these 18. So Tana Treifas, the Mishnah mentioned the Treifas that it mentioned, but Tana Zehakla, then it said a Zehakla,
The Zayakal was married, but what? The Shev Shmaitza, the Chazil, the Ramasa, the Asa B'Zeh. But then the Tanav Mish realized that the Zeh Klal, which is inclusive, I think will be Marba of Masa's Halach as well. So it's Marba the Shev Shmaitza, but it would be Marba more than the Shev Shmaitza. It's also going to be Marba of Masna. My time of the Damiel in Netuli, because it's similar to Netuli. There are things in the Mishnah that are trefas because something was removed. This too, the thigh bone that pops out of place, it was removed from its socket, from where it belongs. So it's similar to Netuli. Thus, Tana Elu Trefas, the Mishnah said Elu Trefas, Zok Rabbi Yochanan Dafka, Hanihu the Trefa, the Ramasnik Shero. So the purpose of Elu Trefas was Limute the Ramasnik, to go not like Ramasnik. Lokash said just the opposite. Then when the Mishnah says Elu Trefas, it's Dafka. The way he set it up was as follows, explaining to us what the Tana was thinking in real time, how he wrote the Mishnah. Tana Trefas, the Tana wrote Elu Trefas, Vitana Zayaklal, and then the Tana wrote Zayaklal. The Chazal, the Ramasnik, the Loyasib Zayaklal. And then he felt there are Masa's halacha, which he really wanted to include, he never included. It wasn't one of the 18. And he didn't think it would be included in the Zeh HaKal. Because although the Zeh HaKal is marba, it's marba the Shev Shmaitza, but it's only going to be marba things that are similar to the things that are mentioned in the Mishnah. And the Tana felt that Rav Masna's case, where the bone just slips out of place, not similar to anything mentioned in the Mishnah. My time, malav l'nekuvi damya, it's not similar to all the treifas mentioned in the Mishnah because of a hole that they have. V'loi l'psuke damya, and it's not similar to the things mentioned in the Mishnah that are trefas because they were severed, because nothing severed. And it's not similar to the things that are trefas because something was removed, because nothing was removed. Therefore, Tana Eluk Sheiros. Therefore, he had to write Eluk Sheiros. And it's in the words Eluk Sheiros that you know Rav Masna's halacha. How so? Hani hu de Sheiros, hadi Rav Masna trefa. So we started off with a machlokes. Itma Rabbi Yechanan ama Eluk trefas dafka. Rav Shimon Lakash ama Eluk Sheiros dafka. What does that mean? Plus, what does it mean? And what's the nafkamina lalacha? Says the Gemara, there's a nafkamina lalacha. Rav Masna's halacha. If Elu Trefos is Dafka, it's Dafka, these are the Trefos, and whatever's included from the Zeh HaKlal, Rav Masna's case is not going to be considered a Trefa. If it's Elu Sheiros Dafka, then it's just the opposite. It's Elu Sheiros Dafka, as opposed to something else that's not kosher. We're coming to be married to something that's really going to be a Trefa. What's that other thing that would really be a Trefa? It's Rav Masna's halacha. Incidentally, we've spoken that in the past, again, not for this morning, but there's a Tshuvas HaGaonim that says the Rav Masna was Rabbi Yechanan's 11th son. Rabbi Yechanan said in Masachtes Brachos Daf Hey, famously, Dein Gerama Dasira Bir, that Rabbi Yechanan lost 10 children, B'chaya of Loyaleinu. And the Tshuvas HaGaonim says he had an 11th son. His name was Rav Masna, and he sent Rav Masna to Bavel to go learn by Shmuel. We spoke about, read about this, but either way, in this Gemara, Rabbi Yechanan was coming, Lafuke Rav Masna. I thought it was Geschmack first, but then I realized it's just the opposite. Rav Yechanan wasn't making the Stam Mishnah like his son Rav Masna, but not like Rav Masna. Either way, Zakhtar Gemar Gufa, I'm Rav Masna. And on the topic of Rav Masna's halacha, Hay buka da atma de shav meduchte. So again, the thigh bone popped out of place. Treif, Rav Amakshera. Rav said it's kosher. Ifsik nive, if the ligaments tore, treifa. The hilchasa da loch is ifsik nami treifa. Even if the ligaments tore, it's still going to be kosher. Ad de misakla isakuli. Unless the ligaments completely decay, they go bad, it's going to be considered a trefa. It's going to be kosher. Only if that happens, does it become a trefa. So a nekev in the veshet. A nekev means a mashu makes the animal into a trefa. What about in the kana? It would have to be severed. But there's another way for the kana to become a trefa. And that is if we're missing a piece of the kana. How much? It has to be the size of an isar. That's a coin. Ha'italki. I'm assuming that means Italian. So an Italian coin, that's the shear of what a chisaron in the kana is for it to become a trefa. Amma Ze'iri. So Ze'iri said, Atun deloy mischami l'chayin, shiura, you who never saw the Isar ha'italki, I guess it was out of circulation amongst these chachamim, so he said, I'll give you another coin, a different marumakim, for you to know what exactly the shear is, and that is shiure bedinra kurdina. So the dinar kurdina, that's something that apparently the Olam was familiar with. Rashi says, Umehare Arora too. That's where it's from. But regardless, that's the coin that you can use to know what the size of a chisorin is that would make the kana a trefa. Bahavi, another marumakim, it's kipshita zutrasi. It's like the small pshita, umeshtak chabeni pshiti the pumpadisa, that you'll find amongst the pshitim. Pshita is a coin that was used in pumpadisa. Am Rabchana psayra. Rabchana, the money changer, said, Eloi minoi havi koi bar nafcha. He says, I was once sitting there and I was doing my job. I picked my head up, and lo and behold, I saw Bar Nafcha, the son of the blacksmith.
Who was the son of the blacksmith?
The great Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was Rabbi Yochanan Bar Nafcha. His father was a blacksmith. For some reason, Rabbi Chanan Saira referred to him here as the son of a blacksmith. He says, I look up and I saw the great Rabbi Yochanan. Ubay mini din rekordina. Yeah, imagine Rabbi Yochanan shows up to your office and he said, what did he want? He wanted a din rekordina. And the reason he wanted it was l'shari b'treifasa. He said, because he's learning Hilchas Treifas. Rava said twice so far, Masechtas Chulim, Chakim Bri, B'Treifas, K'Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan was a big bucky in Treifas, so he was doing some field work, some due diligence. So he went to the money changer because he needed this coin to determine the sheer chisaron in a kana. Says the Gemara, Ubalu Mekamine. So my first reaction, Rabbi Chanan Saira said, was I wanted to stand up for Rabbi Yochanan. The God Ladar walks into your office, right? The revelation of Kani, but he didn't let me. Amali told me, shave, bini shave. Ein bali umnius, amazing Gemara. Rasham lama b'nei tamid chachavim. He didn't let me get up. He said, it's halacha, that if somebody's doing a job, he has a responsibility to his employer, and as a result, he can't be mafsik, even to give kovet to the God of Adar, to give kovet to Rabbi Yochanan. Is that true? When the Yidin used to come up to Yerushalayim to bring Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash, so all the Bali Umniyos, all the people that were working, they would stand up for the Yidin that were bringing Bikurim. And they would say, Shalom Aleichem, and they would tell them, right? They would start serenading them. So this Yid, money change, is not allowed to stand up for Rabbi Yochanan. What do you mean? The Yid, everyone used to get up, all the Bali Umnis would stand up for the people that would bring the Bikurim. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan himself explained this. Yeah, you're allowed to get up for the Yidin that are bringing Bikurim. But Mibnei Tamid HaChamim, Eim Oimdim. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Abba. So Rabbi Yochanan heard this and he commented. He said, Boy, Rei, Kamach Aviv, a mitzvah b'shaita. You see how chashiv it is by HaKadosh Baruch, how chaviv it is. A mitzvah that's done in its Shamarei Mibnei, Eim Oimdim. But Mibnei Tamid HaChamim, Eim Oimdim. Imagine, you can get up for someone that's doing a mitzvah b'shaita. Bikurim has to be done in a specific time. So you can stand up for someone that's doing a mitzvah b'shaita, but you can't stand up for Rabbi Yochanan. But the Gemara says, it's not a riot. Maybe it's not that the mitzvah of Bikurim, which is a mitzvah b'shaita, is more chashuv than Tamidei Chachamim. That's not what it means. What it means is apparently we had to incentivize and motivate people to want to get Bikurim because it wasn't easy. It was a big schlep. So what we did is we make people feel good and we will mechazik them. This was all so they should be able to do it in the future. So it was a special carve-out in this halacha. Really, a Baal Umnis is not allowed to stand up for anybody. He's not allowed to be mafsik. Not for a Talmud Chacham and not for a mitzvah b'shaita. It was just to encourage and give chizik to the people that were making this arduous trek up to the Makam HaMikdash to go and give the mitzvah of Bikurim to the Kehanim. It was to be mechazik them that we allowed the Bali Umnis to stand up for them. Exhale. So we're a little bit of a Baal Chayiv on some raid from last week. So last week we spoke about the treifas of the Reya. We got into kosher, glat Beis Yosef, what kosher and glat kosher meant once upon a time. What kosher and glat kosher means today, it's a very diluted version of it, because even what we refer to today as glat is not 100% glat. Once upon a time, it would not have the standard of glat. We spoke out what the tshuva me'ahava brings, b'shem his Rebbe, the Noida Behuda. Somebody told me on Shabbos that Rabbi Vadi Yosef quotes this a lot. He quotes it from the Tshuva Me'ahava B'Shem, the Noida Behuda, who said that even though the Ashkenazish Velt took on the Chumras and the Ramah, and as opposed to the Kulas of the Beis Yosef, the Beis Yosef is a Kula, and the Ramah is the Chumra, but at the same time, there's one big kula that the Bnei Ashkenaz have, and that is when it comes to kosher and glat kosher, when it comes to the Sirchas on the Reya. And the Rebbe Yehuda said, Halavai, the Bnei Ashkenaz would have taken on all the kulas of the Beis Yosef, abit to have the chumra of glat Beis Yosef, rather than take all the chumras of the Ramah at the expense of the kula of not being machmer with glat Beis Yosef. And he says, the reason is, ki rabu at machsholim, and it's Yotze Schar Bev said, there's more issues with that one kula. More issues with that one kula that you would have from all the kulos and dalet chalkei shulchan aruch. But he says, kach kibalnu moishe emes, the teirasei emes, umina loy tezu, advarim nifla. But either way, so that was the whole issue as it relates to kosher and glat kosher. But there's another very important thing that we started talking about a little bit at the end of the week, and that is as it relates to a nekev in the stomach of the animal.
So just a little bit of a background as it relates to a contemporary issue that the Poskim have been dealing with really over the last 20 to 25 years. That is, that everybody knows, the Gemara says in Masechtas B'chayres Davav Amedeis, Kol Hayotzei Min HaTameh, Tameh. So just like you're not allowed to eat a non-kosher animal, you can't eat the meat of a non-kosher animal, you can't eat anything that comes out of the non-kosher animal. So you can't eat the meat of a chazer, can't eat the milk of a chazer either. You can't eat the meat of a treifa, you can't drink the milk of an animal that's a treifa either. It says in the Torah, a gomel is a non-kosher animal. It says it twice. Hagomel, hagomel, shnei pa'amim. Once to tell me that you're not allowed to eat the meat of the gomel, and then the second time to tell me you're not allowed to drink the milk of a gomel. Thus, kol hayotze min ha-tameh, tameh. If that's the case, the halachas of treifas is not only negeya, the meat of a treifa, but it's negeya, any milk that would come out of a treifa as well. And it's with that halachic background that a big shaila emerged. And that is that today animals are not allowed to just roam the fields and eat grass and graze in the wild the way they did once upon a time. Today everything is commercial, and really, if you're familiar with the way they breed animals today, it's the best description you can give is think Havdol of Auschwitz. They put them in concentration camps. They force feed them foods that are very unnatural for them. Animals get sick. They develop diseases, and it's a very big mess. One of the common issues, one of the common side effects that animals get because of the way that they're fed, is that very often their fourth stomach, the abomasum, what we know as the cava, will slip out of place. So the cava is supposed to be in the back of the animal, on the right side of the animal. Sometimes it's going to slip to the left, sometimes it's going to slip above. It's because of the acids that build up in the animal, and the animal has, again, it's choking it. There's just no way for it to deal with it in a natural way. And it's a problem. It's a problem because the animal's life is put at risk. And obviously, for monetary reasons, the people that are raising these animals have to find a way to fix it. So there are different procedures that have developed over time that are implemented today by the veterinarians so that they can maximize financially the most that they can get out of these animals. One thing that they do is they'll feed it, they'll pump it with drugs. So they put drugs and sometimes they can correct the problem. Sometimes they need a good chiropractor, gives it a good kvetch, and by doing that, they could also make. But some of the things that they're forced to do, which apparently in most cases, they have to do an invasive operation. Now, there are different types of invasive operations. However, some of them require making a hole in the actual stomach so that the gases can come out and that everything can be put back in place. If that would happen to an animal, l'chayre, the animal would become a treif. Because one of the treifas mentioned in the Mishnah is nikev hakeva. So if the keva has a nekev, that makes the animal a treif. So based on that, it would seem that any animal that had this operation done to it, the operation that involves making a hole in the abomasum inside the keva, that animal would become a treifa. Now, being that so many animals have this, and we don't know which one did and which one didn't, any time you drink the milk of an animal, l'chaira, you have to suspect that maybe the milk is coming from an animal that had this operation done. And if that's the case, the milk that you're going to be drinking is going to be chal of treifa. I mean, it seems like something very reasonable. Now, as it relates to the meat, it's not a problem, because when the sheikh checks, he's going to know what he's looking at. There's no issue as it relates to the meat. It's never going to play itself out in a practical way. Because the animals, you're going to look, you're going to suspect. So once upon a time, you only had to check the rea. So now you have to check maybe a little bit more. That's something that's very easily identified. It's not a big deal. That would never pose a major earth-shattering shaila and revolution in terms of the way Jews eat. But as it relates to the milk, that's already an issue. When you buy a milk in a container, you know what the history of this animal was. How in the world are you supposed to know if the animal had this operation done or if the animal didn't have this operation done? And based on that, l'chayre, you should have to be concerned that maybe the milk that you're drinking came from such an animal which is a treifa. We just said, the Gemara says, just like you're not allowed to eat the meat of a treifa, so too, you're not allowed to eat the milk that comes out of an animal of a treifa. This condition where the abomasum of the animal slips out of place is what's known as either a DA, a displaced abomasum, or an LD, a left displaced abomasum. That's supposed to be on the right, and it ends up slipping to the left. Regardless, this was the shaila, that
that being that in modern times animals are suffering from this condition called DA or LDA, and sometimes they're being treated in a way where we're making a hole inside the keva, l'chaira, do we have to start being concerned that maybe the animal, the milk that we're drinking is coming from such an animal which is going to make it into a trefa? So just two hakdamos to the shayla, and then we'll speak out a little bit of the halachas. Number one, this shayla is a modern shayla, but it's similar to something that goes back hundreds of years. We mentioned in the end of one of the shiurim last week that there's a big machlokes in the Gemara when the Mishnah describes the keres apnimi and the keres achitzayna. Which part of the keres is the keres apnimi, and which part of the keres is the keres achitzayna? The Mishnah says, an animal that has a nekev of a mashu in the keres apnimi, the animal becomes a trefa. If, however, the nekev is in the keres achitzayna, it doesn't become a trefa. You would need a rupture in the keres achitzayna in order for the animal to be a trefa. And the Gemara brought shita after shita after shita, a whole bunch of different opinions, what exactly the keres achitzayna so pnimi is, and what the keres achitzoyna is. La halacha, the Gemara, the tour in Hilchas Treva, Simen Mem Ches, brings two shittas. One shita he says is what the Gemara referred to as mefrata, that when they cut open the animal, so the sheichid is going to be able to see some of the keres is going to be exposed to him. So the part of the keres that's exposed to him, that's the part that's considered the keres apnimi. Everything else is considered the keres achitzoyna. Then the tour brings another shita that says no, the entire keres is considered the keres apnimi. It's only the basar hachoifa es hakeres. It's this meat that covers the top of the keres that's considered the keres hachitzoyna. According to the first shita, it's a very big kula. It's only the part of the keres that you can see when you tear open the animal where a nekev would make it into a trefa. According to the other shita, any part of the keres, a nekev would make it into a trefa. On the side of the old tours, they have a haggah. Amar hamagia, shama ozni mipi magidei ha'emes, sheba arzis hamayrif. There's certain seasons in certain geographic areas where the animal sometimes gets bloated. That's the term, bloat. It gets bloated sometimes with all the grass that it eats. And kadesh layama, so that animals shouldn't die, because apparently this becomes very dangerous for the animal. They make a hole in its keres, in its rumen, that's the first stomach, behind the animal. And they remove a lot of things from it. And it ends up healing. And it ends up living. They do the same thing for gemala, for camels. Now they're making a hole in the keres, and the animal's living. How does the animal live? I thought Chazal say, Trev is in Chaya. Yud Beis Chodesh, the animal should be dead. You see it lives. Must be that where they, the part of the keres where they make this hole is not really part of the keres. It's not the part of the keres where a neck of a mashu would make it into a trefa. Now, if you're going to tell me, like the second shot in the Torah, that the entire keres is considered the part of the keres where a neck of a mashu, so how does it shtim with this metzias? Must be that no. The ikar is like the first shot in the Torah, and it's only the mefrat, it's the part that's exposed to the sheichet, that is considered the keres as it relates to a neck of mashu. The part of in the back net. The bottom line is he brought a riot from the chush, from the mitzios, that it must be. Now, the Bach right here says that he saw over here on the Hodin Nimtza Agoyis, Bemixas Tfusim Chadoshim, the Visnaitzio, Rayim and Achush, he says, how could you bring a raya from the chush? And he says, "V'sharilei marayu Hakadosh Baruch Hu should forgive the ones that printed this on the side of the Torah, because they're being machshel people by thinking that the ikar is like the first pshat in the Torah. And of course, you can't bring rayas from the metzias because we know nishtana hateva, like the Rambam says in Perek Yud and Hilchas Shchita. So the Bach says, I don't know how in the world we're bringing any rayas from this halacha right here. What's the teretz? The teretz is, we spoke to that already last week, that this that we say you can't bring rayas from the metzias because maybe nishtana hateva. That's if Chazal said something's vadaya tre." So you can't go ahead, and this is important for the tshuva that we're about to speak out. This is all if Chazal said something is avadai treifa. You say, but the metzias is the animal lives. So that already, we don't want to hear from that. It's Allah l'moishu misinai, al pi ha-toira she-yerucha, l'shoyni azov shal-aram and perik yod and hilcha shchita. But over here, there's no avadai treifa. Here, it's really a sofik treifa. We're not sure. What's the keres? Is this the keres? Is that the keres? And even though it's a sofik in din, but at the end of the day, when it comes to a sofik there, the poiskim say you could be machriya based on the metzias. You know what those poiskim are? The shach and the Prima Godim and the Lavush and the Marshal. There's a whole list of G'dayli, 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 G'dayli Achreinim. So that's Pasha, that's what the Pshat and the Haggah is. So again, there was an idea where they were making some sort of operation that goes back hundreds of years. But just to be clear, that's not the Shiloh right here.
Why is that not the shaila? That was being done in the keres. This is being done in the keva. The keva is much more chomer than the keres. Because the keres, there's the keres apnimi and there's the keres achitzoina. Fakeret, it seems like, it's according to this haggah at the very least, that the part of the keres where they made this hole didn't make the animal a treifa. The haraya, it lived for Yud Beis Chodesh. So the Bach said it's not a raya, but at least it was being done in a controversial part of the animal, a part where it's not so clear that the animal would be a treifa. The keva, there's no pnimi and there's no chitzoina. The entire keva is considered an area where a nekev of a mashu would make the animal a treifa. Thus the question, how are you allowed to drink milk today? Why aren't we worried about it? Now the truth is that there's a tshuva for a Moshe. There's always a tshuva for a Moshe. Now the tshuva that Rav Moshe wrote was in 1952. And in 1952, there was no condition known to the farmers and the veterinarians as a displaced avomazim or a left displaced avomazim. The shiloh that was sent to Rav Moshe was really the discussion of this haggah on the side of the Torah. It was sent by Yedidi Rabbi Elimelech HaKohen Schwartz in Kansas City. Either way, he writes to Rav Moshe that he heard that there are roifim, veterinarians, that they'll go into farms and they treat animals that suffer. Doesn't explain exactly what it is, but it seems like he's describing this condition of bloat that the Haggah on the side of the Torah is discussing, where animals, they eat too much grass, it gets stuck in the rumen, in the keres, and they have to release some gas, so they're going to make a hole in the keres, somewhere in the back, mamish this case of Haggah. And he asked Ramosha, he said, from what he understands, this is happening, and there's doctors that are going into different farms and doing this, and I think there's a lot of meat in circulation that are coming from animals where this was done. And he asked Rav Moshe, does that mean that we suddenly have to stop being concerned? Because I don't even think the Sheikh Tamar are aware of this, so they're not even looking for it. So the reality is, I don't know, all the meat in circulation, maybe it came from such an animal. Maybe this should pose a real issue. And he gets involved immediately. He says, you have to know, is that part the keres? Is it not the keres? But of course, we go l'chumah, not like the first pshat in the Torah, we go l'chumah like the second part of it, that the entire keres is the keres. So if that's the case, even if it's in the back of the keres, a nekev in any part of the keres, l'halacha, makes the animal treifa. So this is something that you have to worry about. Says Rav Moshe, the answer is no. V'hinei pashach ein lachash l'klum. And the reason is, the kol de parish, meruba parish. Of course, everyone knows that, right? Anyone that ever learned the first parak of Masechtas Ketubos knows kol de parish, meruba parish. But the truth is, not so pashach. And Rav Moshe goes through a festa tshuva over here. Because the classic case of kol de parish, meruba parish is when you found a piece of meat. So you found a piece of meat, and you don't know where the meat came from. There's 10 possibilities, because there's 10 stores. 9 of the stores sell kosher meat, 1 sells non-kosher meat. So called the parish, meruba parish, you're saying that you assume that it came from the store that sells the kosher meat. But if you have a taruvas, let's say you have a taruvas, you have a mixture right now of 10 things, lithonecha, in front of you, and if something was parish from that taruvas, do you say called the parish, meruba parish? In the classic case of called the parish, there was never a taruvas. There were 10 stores. There were 10 fast food stores. That's where they were. You found the hamburger on the floor. You're just not sure which place it came from. Here, when you have a cheftza of a taruvos, there it's very different. And here you have to come on to Rabbeinu Tam and Masechta Zvachim Daf Ayin, and you have to come on to a tour in Yerudea Simen Tezayin, and a tour in Yerudea Simen Nunzayin, who seiser himself in another tour in Simen Kofyud, and a rosh and a shach. This is gewaldig. But the bottom line is, Rav Moshe came out at the end of the day, you can for sure be soivich and call the barish meruba barish, and based on that, he wasn't worried because he said it's true. I hear there is a chance that some of the meat in circulation is coming from such animals because nobody's looking out for this. But at the same time, it doesn't bother me because at the end of the day, kol de parish meruba parish. But again, Rav Moshe's tshuva was written about the nekev in the keres, similar to what the Haggah was discussing on the side of the Torah in Hilchos Treifin, Sesimim Memches, and Rav Moshe, who gave us a modern day psak as it relates to that shaila where the animals were treated for bloat, he said, don't worry about it because it's a miyot and kol de parish meruba parish. Stating that, this whole hakdama will not work for the question of the DA and the LDA. Very different. First of all, this issue with the displaced abomasin was shchiach. What Rav Moshe was writing a tshuva to for this year in Kansas City was the condition of boat, which was a milsud deloy shchicha. There was a miyuta, the miyuta of animals that this was an issue with. So it was very easy to just reject it by saying, call the parash meruba parash. What we're dealing with is something that's a lot more shchiach. How shchiach? So again, anytime you start relying on statistics, you're going to hear a whole bunch of different stories. But Rebelski Kaminsky, in his famous tshuva that he wrote on this issue, says that it's anywhere between 5% and 15%. The OU's website says anywhere between 1% and 9%. Whatever it is, it's a real number. It's a significant number. It's not something that happens every now and again. The number is definitely something very real. So number one, it's something that was a lot more shchich. Number two, what we're dealing with is happening in the keva. It's not happening in the keres. The keres is for sure more lukula, because the keres, there is a yeshayim in the Torah that where they make the nekev is not even a treifa, which means that the whole treifa is a shayla of a suffik treifa. It's not a shayla of a vadai treifa. With suffik treifa, you could be more mekel. If you're dealing with a vadai treifa, you certainly, it's going to manifest itself in chumras as you go through the tshuva and as you deal with the shayla. But there's a much bigger problem, and this is really the punchline of the problem. And that is that when we deal, the shiloh that we're dealing with was the milk. Forget about the meat. The meat we'll check for. We don't have to worry about the meat. We're worried about the milk. Problem with milk, is a davar lach. So what happens is, picture a farm. They produce milk. So they milk the cow, and then they milk the next cow, and they milk the next cow. They do it very, very commercially, not the way you do it. You know, you did it when you were a little kid and you went to the farm. So this is done in a very different way. But they're pumping out gallons, hundreds, millions of gallons of milk. And then they put it into a big vat. It all becomes nisarif. Now you have in that taruvos now milk that's kosher and milk that's non-kosher. The ones that came from kosher animals, kosher milk. The ones that came from non-kosher animals, kol yetz min atame tame. You have a taruva, it's lach belach, two liquids that are in one big mixture. What's that locha as it relates to bittel? When you have a taruva, it's lach belach. You can't just be mevatel beroiv, you have to be mevatel at beshishin, tam kirker. So you have to be mevatel at beshishin. So now you're going to need 60 times kosher milk versus the non-kosher milk. The problem is that 5 to 15%, or even 1 to 9% of these animals have this condition, you're not going to have shishim. Shishim would be 1.63%. It would have to be 1/60th kosher, non-kosher to kosher. You don't have that. The numbers are too high for that. And if that's the case, you don't have bittul shishim. So if you're dealing with an animal that walks out of a herd, well, you just rife. Call the parish, meruba parish. That's what Moshe's tshuva on Yeridei, Chel, Galef, Simen, Chaf. To this Yid, Rabbi Schwartz in Kansas City. But for this, in 1952. but here we're dealing with milk. Milk is in the taruvos. It's lach belach. Belach belach, you need shishim. We're nowhere close to shishim. If that's the case, here we have a problem. And when this issue came out in the mid-1990s, there was a major tumult. And immediately everyone said, nobody drink milk. Nobody drink milk, right? Almond milk, soy milk, that's it. You weren't allowed to drink milk from a cow because we were concerned. There was a major issue. The Olam had to sort this out. And the truth is that really, where this shiloh plays itself out today, in 2019, is that the Chol Yisrael companies check for this. And if the Chol Yisrael companies, and this is probably the most tedious aspect of what they need to do. And that is, they have to determine which cows had this procedure, which cows did not have this procedure. It's not so simple to figure this all out. And because it's not so simple to figure this all out, they have to put a lot of work into it, but that's what they do. And they make sure that the milk that they're bottling and they're putting their stamp of approval on is from a cow that didn't have this procedure done. What about Chol of Stam? So this is really Chol of Stam 2.0. So you had the Chol of Stam issue, there Rabbi Moshe wrote a tshuva on. This is the age-old shiloh. Do you have to be worried about? Is the milk from a kosher animal? Maybe it's the milk of a chazen. Maybe it's the milk of a dog. Maybe it's the milk of a ichvesnish of a non-kosher animal. So for that, you have the pre-chadash, and you have the Aruch HaShulchan, and you have the Chsam Sofer. And for that, you have Rabbi Moshe's tshuva, which the Chazanish also said, and the Anan Sahadi. And that really takes place in the battlegrounds of Masechtas Avodah Zarah. Chol of Shechova Yaakov, the Yisro Reyeh. Rabbi Moshe wrote a tshuva that it's Yisro Reyeh. And then Rabbi Moshe threw everybody for a loop when he said, but a Baal Nefesh should be Machmer. What does that mean? But the bottom line is, that's that whole shiloh of, do you have to assume that when you buy a bottle of milk, if you buy a bottle of milk from a store that doesn't have a Haimash Ashkuch on it, but there's a picture of a cow on the bottle, are you allowed to assume it really comes from a cow? Or do you have to assume maybe it comes from the chazer or from some other animal that you're not allowed to drink? That's shiloh number one. But this is a whole different shiloh. Zolzaina came from a cow. But maybe it came from a cow that had a displaced abomasum. And if it did, and they corrected it with this procedure, this invasive procedure, where they move the abomasum by making a hole inside the cave, they made the animal to a trefa. So it's very, it could be a cow that's smiling on the cover. At the end of the day, there's still a problem. The problem is, l'chayri, you have an issue here based on the trefa's issue. So again, it went from being a halachic shiloh to really becoming a Chol of Stam question, and that is, if somebody eats Chol of Stam, why isn't there an issue that he's putting
something that may be treifas and tzitzis. So the truth is that before everybody gets excited, you have to really take a step. You have to take a step back. The reality is, speak to any shaychet who shechts, there is a very high percentage of animals that shechtim shecht that turn out to be treifas. Fact. Whether it's treifas related to the sircha or whether it's some other form of treifa. But the reality is that there's a very decent amount. Some people say 20%, 40%, 50%. It depends on the geographic area. In the United States of America, it's a very, amongst like older animals, bulls, like the tougher animals where they take salami and like the tougher meats usually come from older animals. The number's as high as Rebelsky writes in a Sefer, in his English Sefer, Shulchan Alevi. He said as high as 95%. He said he did the research. He said 1 out of 20 is kosher. It's unbelievable. So the amount, and this historically was never like this, Chazal say Rav Behem is Ksherim Hein, right? It's because of the way they feed the animals today. These are animals that are being, you know, manufactured in factories. They're not allowed to graze the way they used to. Now, if you go to South America in different places where you're getting cheaper meat, it's inferior meat, but like Uruguay and Chile and some of these places, so there the numbers switch a lot. Most of them are really, really Ksherim. But the reality is that so many animals, when they shech, they realize atreifas. So if that's the case, how are you ever allowed to drink milk? Forget about chalv stam. How are you allowed to drink milk? Taloch is kolayotz min atomei tomei. And the reality of the situation is that they're milking animals. Incidentally, the animals that they milk are not the same animals that they slaughter, right? So 1 second. These are dairy animals. But 1 second, you don't know if it's a treif or not because you're not shechting it. So being that you don't know, but you know for a fact, you have to be delusional not to realize a metzias. And that is that a good percentage of animals are treifas. It's a fact. I speak to any shaykhet. He's going to tell you that. So if that should be true for the dairy animals as well, right? Of course, it's pashit. No one's arguing the metzias. No, they do. But 1 second. So the question, they do. So the question is, this whole LDA is a issue with the dairy animals, right? So the question is this. At the end of the day, you know there's a good percentage of the milk that came from a treifa. And it's all nesarev, and it's lach belach, and you need shishim, and it's not 1 point. It's the numbers aren't going to work. So at the end of the day, every single milk, it doesn't matter how high mishtashkuch is, luchari, you have an issue. The issue is, why are you worried about a treifa? Right? It's a good kasha, but it's a toys the kasha. The reason the kasha is a toys is because we have a roiv, and roiv says roiv behemis ksherim him, and we're allowed to be soymechan roiv. Not only are we allowed to be soymechan the roiv, but we mentioned already last week the pischei tshuva and of Yerideh Simen Kuf Tezayin that springs from Kadmoinim, that someone that's not Soymechan Roiv, he has a din of a Koifa Be'ikr. He's not, he doesn't believe it. Teres Moshe doesn't believe it. There's a Losh from the Chassam Soif in the Tshuva somewhere that says that the same Torah that said you're not allowed to eat Reif, it says you can be Soymechan Roiv, Behemis Ksherim. It's the same Torah. It's the same Torah, and the Chassam Sofer says a lashon that even if it's a gloy, I think it's a Rechaim Simen Pei Beis, that even if it's a gloy milsalim, I'm afraid you're going to find out later that we ate was a treifa. Doesn't matter. Ein chet. You didn't eat treifa because roiv is a din Torah. You're not allowed to go connected roiv. Roiv is a real halach in the Torah. Okay, so we're relying on roiv. So what's the problem? So instead of it being, let's say, 25%, because of the displaced abomasim, now it became 30%. Right. So what's the whole shaila? I mean, after you take a step back, I hear it sounds like a very threatening question. But the problem is, isn't that true for every animal? Well, but that's like a tatois. And the reason it's a tatois is because the only time you're allowed to sum on roiv is if there's, rely on roiv, there's no way to be mevarer the mitzias. Thus, you have a suffix and you're allowed to work with roiv. But if there's a way to be mevarer, you can't rely on roiv. Roiv is when I don't know. I have no idea. So, is this animal a treif or not? How am I supposed to know? So you rely on a roiv. But if there's a way to know whether this animal's a treif or not before you shecht it or before you milk it, then of course you're not allowed to go ahead and rely on roiv. If an animal has a sirch in its lungs, there's no way to know. You'll know when you shecht it. These animals are dairy animals. You're not shechting these animals. You can milk it, assuming the roiv, and that's why it's not going to be an issue. However, when it comes to this displaced abomasum, to the extent that the animal had a procedure done, you would know it had a procedure done because you'd see a scar. The best surgeon in the world is going to leave a scar. So as a result, you're going to see something. So there's a way to be mevarit. So if there's a way to be mevarit, go be mevarit. Make a taste. You're not letting rely on roiv. That was the crux of the question. The crux of the question was based on the fact that, number one, we're dealing with the kevas. It doesn't matter where they make the hole. A hole in the kevah automatically renders the animal a treifa. Number two, we're dealing with a dover lach. Lach belach, that's nesarev, needs to be batal b'shishim. You would need 60 times het to keneged the iser. All the statistics prove that you don't have 60 times het to keneged the iser. And metzias number three is that you could be mevarit. And the reason you could be mevarit is because just look and see if it has a scar. If it has a scar, you know that it was treated for for this condition. If it was treated for this condition, then you're done. So l'chur, even though, yeah, you're sitting in a supermarket, you can't be mavar the cow, but the reality is you're relying on a situation that's roiv, that technically is actually mavar. And if that's the case, l'chur, it should be a problem. Stating that, Rabbi Yisrael Belsky wrote a tshuva. The tshuva is printed in Shulchan Alevi. He really wrote two tshuvas on this issue. He sets up the metzias very, very clearly. Everything I just said comes from, primarily, from Rabbi Belsky's tshuva. But I just want to give you the hakdama that he writes his tshuva. We're not going to have time to go through all of it. It's Metz Hashem. Maybe we'll do a part two tomorrow. But he begins his tshuva as follows. The terem avar ha'inyan, abiyah behektem. I just want you to know. Kinirali pashit yoyser mi biyasa bekuscha. It's more pashit to me than beyasa bekuscha. What's he referring to? That's a slang that the Chachamim used when they wanted to describe something that's so pashit. A beya is an egg. Kutach is a dairy product. Are you allowed to eat eggs with cheese? Of course. So it's more pashit to me than beyasa bekuscha. I mean, it's so pashit. Shechol achol of all the milk. Hagvina, the cheese. Vishara teitzorish and asmichol of all the other dairy products. Hayyotze meyosin adarin that come out of the farms where animals had this procedure done, mutarin hein al pi hadin hayosher v'habar. Poshen. Mi bli lehizdakek v'lismech al pilpulim v'chidushay halachas t'chukim. You don't have to come out to pilpulim and shtiklach taira. It's poshen to me yoyser mi beyasa bekuscha. V'af ein lodun aleim k'dova shahir b'chacham. It doesn't have a din of a dova shahir b'chacham where the Ramah says a bal nefesh should be machmer. You don't even have to be machmer as a bal nefesh. Now I'm going to explain to you why. And Rabelsky says as follows. We'll see. Maybe we have a little bit of time. So the first thing Rabelsky said was like this. He said he researched all the different invasive procedures that they do. This is very interesting. He said not all the invasive procedures involve making a hole in the keva. Some do, but not all do. Which means that really we thought that it's efshet to be mavarer whether the animal had this procedure done or didn't have this procedure done. Says Rabelsky, it's not true. You can't be mavarer because the only thing that you would be able to be mavar is if the animal has the scar. But just because the animal has the scar, it doesn't necessarily mean they went through the keva. In fact, most of the times they didn't go through the keva. They didn't go through the keva. So you'll say, what do you mean? Speak to the farmers. Don't they keep a record? No. He says that the USDA or the government agency that regulates this does not require them to take a record. So he spoke to them. They don't have records. Why would they keep this record? They have to know exactly what the procedure was done. What, he has his medical records of this, the behemoth that's going to be slaughtered in 9 seconds and be sold all over the world. So what's the point? They don't keep records. They keep records if a procedure was done or if a procedure wasn't done. That's all they know. And you're right. You could be mevarer that something was done. You could see it on the animal. But you have no way of knowing. So he says at the end of the day, before he even starts his tshuva, he says the whole thing is based on information that's a tais. We assume that it's efshel avar. If it's efshel avar, he can't be sarichan roiv. It's efshel avar. There's no way to know what was done. And if there's no way to know it's done, you're right. There's a good chance that it's coming from this animal. And on the tzad that this surgery would make the animal into a trefa, that would be a problem. But at the end of the day, it's no different than all the other milk that you drink. Well, every time you drink milk, it's coming from an animal where there's a very decent chance the animal is a trefa. Elamai, right? The hemis ksherimim. You have the same right. We thought here you can't rely on the right. Why can't you rely on the right? Because here you can be mavar. You can't be mavar. You can be mavar. You can get some of the information, but you're not getting all the information. I mean that you're not getting all the information. And Rabelsky takes it even further. He says if that's the case, even if the farmer would tell you, I know they did it in the invasive way, he wouldn't even be believed. Because the halach is a guy is not never. Can I get a chazaka? Can I get a roi? And roi the name is kshay. You can't even believe him in halach. He reads a shach. The bottom line is this is like his hakdama that he says that the whole thing's a mistake. Lemaisi wrote a 10-page tshuva. There's 10 or 15 svaras that he says. Just mention one, and we'll end here. And that is, we had many times, the Gemara mentioned that a krum shal gabi maya, that a krum that develops on the reya, in a krum. What does that mean? That means lungs that has a hole, and then a scab developed on top of where that hole was. So the halach is in a krum. It doesn't make the animal into a trefa. Stating that, it doesn't correct the problem of trefa. In a krum, it's still considered an animal that has a hole in its lungs, and as a result, it's going to be a trefa. Stating that, the Gemara said that what happens if the reya has a hole, the doifin seismasa, and it's connected the muscles, the walls of the animal. So the halach is, that would be considered a good hole. So it's interesting. A reya that has a hole, and now a scab develops on top of the hole, the halacha is, it's still going to be considered a treifa. A reya that has a hole, where doifen is oismasa, there it's not going to be considered a treifa. What's the difference? So the emesis is a seer in Rashi. There's a Rashi where
Rashi seems to be soys himself mineuvet. On Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, Rashi says, number one, that if there's a hole in the reya, and now a scab developed that soys in the hole, imnike vinistam, afilu also by stima ova, ena miskayemes. You know why it's not a good stima of the hole? Because ena miskayemes, it's not going to last. Then Rashi says, but what about the hole that's connected to the doifin? Why is that okay? So Rashi, because that was there, betchilas priyasa. As soon as the hole was there, it was already connected to the doifin, so it was never chalanekev. If you think about it, Rashi seems to be saying to himself. Because Rashi is saying that the reason the scab is not a good stima is why? It's because it's not going to have a kiyum. It's mashma. If it would last, let's say you knew it was going to last 20 years, then it would be good. Then the animal wouldn't be a treifa anymore. The problem is it's ain't a miskayemis. But then Rashi says that the reason when the doifin is soismisa, it is a good stima because it was there right away. The minute the nekev was chal, it's as if it was never a nekev. Nekev means it was a nekev and there was nothing plugging it. So Rashi, no, the doifin was soism it right away. There it's mashma, but you need the stima to be there. Then the point is not, is it miskayemis or not miskayemis? And the emphasis is Rashi's all over the place. Rashi on Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis, where Rashi talks about Enei Krum, says Rashi, Shesoifei Li Saser. It sounds like the point is it's not going to have a kiyum. And then Rashi on Daf Mem Ches, when he talks about Doifin Soispis again, Rashi says the point is because it was there made Kara. So which one is it? It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. Machlik Shach and Taz. The Taz in Simin Lamid Vav in Yeridei and Hilchas Treifa says that the Iker is Rashi's first pshat. That the reason a krum shall gabe reya in a krum is because it doesn't have a kiyum. But if it would have a kiyum, it would be okay. You listening? As it relates to the Shach says no. Shach says you need that the steamer should be there meikara. Because when the steamer is there meikara, it was never a nekif. But if the steamer wasn't there meikara, then it's not. In other words, we have a machleik in Shach and Taz. If a part of an animal has a nekif, and now you closed up the nekif, and that thing that closed the nekif is going to have a kiyum. It's going to be there. Is that enough to make the animal not be a treif, or is it not enough to make the animal not a treif? It's a machlokes shach and taz. According to the taz, it would seem the animal's not a treif. According to the shach, it would seem that the animal is a treif. Says Rebelski, if that's the case, I'm going to tell you a davar nifla. Because we spoke at earlier that the shach and the prichadosh and the levush and the marshal all said that every time you have a suffik treif, a suffik in din, is this a treifa or is this not a treifa? What's the hachra? Look at the mitzias. Does it live yud beis chaydish? That means it's going to be okay. Does it not live yud beis chaydish? That means it's not going to be okay. These animals, after they have a nekev, they're stitched up. And after they're stitched up, the stitching remains. Rebelski says that everybody knows people that have had surgery. Everyone's had a surgery. They know they close you up. They close you up. That's not going to unstitch. It's definitely a stima malyusa. It's definitely something that's going to remain. And if that's the case, so now you have a shayla. A stima malyusa, does it make it okay? Does it not make it okay? L'chayra, it's a machlokes shach and taz. Now, incidentally, Rebelski held that the shach really held like the taz, and it's not really machlokes, but again, that's getting into the detail of the tshuva. But keeping it 20,000 feet, said at the most, it's a machlokes. What do you do when you have a machlokes and din when it comes to treifas? Doesn't live yud beis chaydish. These animals all live yud beis chaydish. If they all live yud beis chaydish, then this is mamish the halacha of the shach. This is that halacha. We came full circle. They live yud beis chaydish. When it's a suffix, it's a good machriya. If that's the case, that would be machriya that it would not be a treifa. And then Rebelski, at the end of the tshuva, he reiterates everything that he wrote in the beginning, that it's pashitim, that this was a very big tomo, but he doesn't even hear a shayla. Again, it's svara after svara after svara, chiddish after agabe chiddish, agabe chiddish. Either way, that is Rebelski's tshuva, and we will stop here.